John chapter 16, verse 23. Amen. So we are looking at the topic, how to maintain a consistent prayer altar. And the Holy Spirit has allowed us, given us the ability to have a few insights on the matter. Amen. So it is based on those foundational insights that we are advancing. The rest of the things we are going to mention, by the help of God, we will just move through them. All things being equal, we should be able to round up the topic today. Is it possible? Huh? No. Is it possible? No, it's possible. Whether it will happen is another thing. But whether it's possible, it is what? Possible. So let's labor in Jesus' name. Okay, so the scripture said here, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father. So, are you seeing something? Did you notice something? Okay, let me read it again. And in that day ye shall ask me what? Nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name. So, there is something happening here. If you are just merely intelligent, there is no necessity for revelation here. You would have been able to pick up something here. The scripture is saying here, in that day ye shall ask me what? Nothing. Now, suggesting that the direction of the prayer engagement consequent upon this statement that Jesus made was directed to Jesus. Is it not true? Follow me now. Was direct. Let's read it. Let's read. 1, 2, ready, go. First phrase. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's stop there. It's enough. So, who is the person saying this now? Who is he talking to? The disciples. He told them that, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. You see? Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask, who now? Are you sure you are following me?
Yes,
if you don't follow me, you will soon get lost. In that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Now, this is suggesting, as I said before, that the direction of the prayer engagement before now is the person of Jesus. How I wish I can just draw all our morning Bible study and give to these people now. Is it not true? Because if I just give you that 30 minutes of our morning Bible study, it will solve the problem of what I want to say now. I don't need to say it if you have been in that Bible study. And if I check, it will take me time. It will take me off. I will just leave it. I will assume that you know what you are supposed to know. Are you not supposed to know something by now? Huh? In that day, which day is that? Ye shall ask me nothing. That's not our job now. I want to just make a quick point and then I will fly away. Fly. So watch. Verily, verily, I say unto you. So Jesus is trying to, between the first phrase and the second phrase, is two dispensations in the context of prayer. Should I read again? If you don't agree with me, just read the scripture first. There are two dispensations in this one verse. Hello, Tana. Let's read again. Watch. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Are you seeing it? Who are they asking? Are you seeing it? Now, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name. So before now, they ask Jesus. After now, they will ask who? The Father. Somebody will ask me, is there a difference? No. But there is something Jesus is trying to establish, and that is the whole point. Because the second thing that you need to know and enter to maintain a consistent prayer altar is a revelation of the Father. You see, before now, they have been praying without a revelation of the Father. Remember that the context of this scripture, are you with me? How many of you is aware? If you say God is your Father, it means that you are God. Now, let me explain to you. You know, and many times in the New Testament, several times they want to accuse Jesus of something, even though he knows it's that, and he could have just told them, he used certain scriptures to just drop it for them. What is in his heart, in his explanation, is way bigger than the statement that he made. But he just made it to show them that even the things that they read in the scripture, follow me now. You need this thing I want to teach more than every other thing. Are you seeing it? Follow me. Now, Jesus came to a point in the scripture when they were accusing him of trying to say that he is equal with God. Of course, we know that he is equal with God in the context of his deity. Are you getting the point? Jesus was, as we said, is fully man and fully God. So, but there is no way he can prove to an ordinary Jew that assumes that God is far there and then man is far down. And it didn't help in the New Testament times. It didn't help considering the fact that the basic culture of the Jews have been turned to Greek. There is a wonderful message by a man of God that I listened to, and it is profound. He called the message degreasing the scripture. The grease is Greek. Like, instead of calling it Greek, you call it grease. Grease is the name of the nation. Are you getting the point? And you know that consequent upon the appearance of the Romans, that the Greeks were the one that defeated that territory that comprised of Israel. Are you getting the point now? And you know how they function. When the Greeks, they get to you, one of the things that they do is to change your culture. That is how they seek to colonize. Are you following what I'm saying now?
Yes, sir.
And one of the things they do by changing your culture is giving you their language. Are you seeing it? Because they did many things. There are many patterns that people used before then in conquest that they felt should work. But at the end, they found out that they didn't produce the kind of result that they intended. For example, if you consider the Babylonian Empire, you will notice that if they defeat you, they will take all of you. Are you getting the point? But they notice that after some time, the people will rebel and desire to go back. Are you getting what I'm saying now?
Yes, sir.
So, and begin to teach them their language. Change their name. Are you getting the point? So, somebody like Lotana now, if they defeated, if you are part of the people, your name would have been Maximus, you see? Huh? Huh? You will be Ottoman. And all kinds of strange names. Huh? That's where you see in the scripture names like Gaius. Those names are Greek names. Are you getting the point I'm trying? They are not Hebrew names. Names like Gaius, names like Aristarchus. Is it not in your scripture? Several kinds of names. Epaphras. They are strange names. Huh? I hope you know. I hope you know that Paul is Saul. It is the Greek way of calling Saul, you call it Paul. There is nothing different. So you say, I'm not Saul, I'm Paul. It's the same thing. Because when you say Saul, you will remember the first king of Israel. There is nothing different. Are you getting what I'm saying? For example, you see in the New Testament, I will show you why. You see in the New Testament, for example, in the book of Luke chapter 4, from verse 14 down, say that which is written in the book of Isaiah, E-S, is it not true? Instead of saying Isaiah, it is because of the fact that the New Testament is originally in Greek. It is from Greek that it was translated. Are you getting the point? And that Isaiah is the Greek version of the Hebrew word Isaiah. Are you getting the point now? Huh? The same thing with Elias is the Greek word for the name, for the Hebrew name, what? Elijah. The same thing for Jeremiah. They call it Jeremy. Am I the only one that have seen it?
No.
Pay attention to the foundation that I'm laying. It's very important for you. Now, the reason is because the Greek was translated, the New Testament was translated into Greek. And I believe, let me not assume. You might not know the reason why. There is several hundreds of years ago, the Greeks are in search of wisdom. And many times when you hear that Egypt is ruling the world, Romans, Greek, Babylon is ruling the world, you'll be thinking that Babylon is far. Should I even tell you? Many of the headquarters of early civilization was in Africa. I hope many of you know. In fact, there was the greatest library as of that time was at Alexandria. And one of the things that they do is to gather books from everywhere. So, in agreement with the Jews, they say, we heard that you people have a book. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We heard that you people have a book. How do we get it? So, that is how several of these translations came into place. Are you getting the point? So, it is called the Septuagint, simply meaning that 70 people wrote it down. That's not my point now. My point is, this is how the Greek culture, are you getting what I'm saying? Shaped several things in the scripture. And the impact of it, this is how the Greeks see their culture. Watch. They believe that you are either God or you are man. That there is no meeting point with something that is divinity and what is humanity. Are you getting the point? That it is not possible for human beings to start talking about the things that is godly, that is too big for us. So they encouraged the demarcation between clergy and laity, spiritual things and physical things. And you would have heard me teach consistently that God's intention is for spiritual things to be hosted in the physical realm. Now, it will help you to ask a question. What is the meaning of this? Second thing I also need to say is that there is a difference between that which is physical and that which is natural. The admonition of the scripture is to eschew things that are natural, not things that are physical. Are you getting the point? In fact, the intention of spirits is to colonize the physical realm. The intention of God is to have representations and ambassadors having the ability to colonize the physical realm for him. Are you getting the point now? So even God is interested in the physical realm. So why will you now decide and portray and show as if the physical realm is in enmity with spiritual realm? No, what is in enmity with this spiritual realm is actually natural things. So the scripture clearly said it in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Am I correct? So if you go there, there are three categories of things you can see, especially in the context of men. You will see the natural man. Am I correct? Then you will see the carnal man. Am I correct? Then you will see the spiritual man. So, according to the scripture there, of course, the natural man is a man that doesn't have anything to do with the things of the kingdom. But the carnal man is somebody that is born again, but is still ruled by the flesh. Are you getting the point? Then the spiritual man is the one that has gone beyond the leanings and the leadings of the flesh and has allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him. Are you getting the point? Such a person has become a spiritual man. Now, the point is this. God's intention all the time is to join the physical with the spiritual. He wants to come to a point where if you laugh, it's a spiritual thing. If you cough, it's a spiritual thing. Are you getting the point? That's why the scripture said the anger of man cannot bring righteousness. Meaning that he's not saying there can't be any anger. That means there is the wrath of God too. He can bring righteousness. It means that at any point that you suddenly became angry, let it be that it is actually God that is angry with the situation. Maybe in your own life. Have you not woken up one day? In fact, you would have noticed that there are certain levels of progress you cannot make until you become angry with certain things. Is it not true? You wake up one day and in fact, many of you are here because of it. You woke up one day and hated the way you are going in this life. If something doesn't happen to you, you know you can't help yourself. You have even tried. One day you woke up, you say, I'm going to do fasting and prayer till this thing changes. I'm going to fast till death. By two, you ate. By 2 p.m., you ate. While you were eating, you put a song to help you to help you cushion the situation. But guess what? God still shows mercy. So that's by the way. Amen. So if you consider these two things, this thing I'm saying now, you will find out the reason why, and that is a mindset that is consistent with an average Jew, and it can be traced through the scripture, and it can be carried. It was carried on from the first generation of the church down. And as the days we are going, as long as man keep living in self, sin, and the flesh, he will keep considering the fact that there is so much of a difference between him and God. Are you getting the point? They were separated, and there is so much of a difference between spiritual and natural things. It will seem as if you are committing abomination by comparing. Meanwhile, are you getting the point? Meanwhile, the reason why Jesus came is to show you that God wants a relationship. Are you seeing where I'm going now? The reason why Jesus came is to show you that God wants a relationship. Now, that this statement of Jesus is trying to say that the dispensation of prayer before this statement, this revelation of Jesus, excluded the context and the concept of fatherhood. Are you seeing it? So Jesus began to introduce, because you see, these people wanted to know the secret of the effective prayer ministry of Jesus. Are you getting where I'm going now? They have seen how effective. If you check the scriptures that we mentioned yesterday about the prayer life of Jesus, the scripture said clearly that he continued all night in prayer to who? He said the Father. He continued all night in prayer to the Father. So Jesus is, they want to know several things about Jesus. So in teaching them prayer, he said, it's okay if you are praying to me, but do you want what I have? Let me show you how I'm doing it. He said, come, this time around now. Don't pray to me, pray to the Father. That means you will be in this context of prayer now. You will not be praying just like a servant. You will not be hoping that you will have results. You see, let me give you an example now. On a normal day, we are assuming that God is a good father here. Not the kind of some of our fathers. That is what I'm going to read in a scripture. When you check the Lord's Prayer, this Jesus did not say, Father. Father, hallowed be thy name. No. He said, our Father. Which at where? We don't know about. Where is your? He is not your father at Akabo. Several of your fathers can actually, if your school fees is 20,000, they will have 100,000 and use it in drinking, womanizing, and eating meat. Come back and complain. Huh? And some of you has picked up the tendency. It's inside. That's why you are brought here, to be circumcised out. Some of you, that's just the reason why God has not given you money yet. Because even if he gives you 1 million, it will waste. You will be complaining that, God, when will you bless me? That this poverty is too much. Meanwhile, you are earning 200,000, 150. You are, do you know what we are talking about? There are people running their family with 40,000 in a month. I'm not saying living alone, running a family. And you say 150,000 is not enough. It's demons from your father's house that has made you incapable of managing your finance. One thing, one of the greatest secrets I've learned to financial increase from God is not prayer, is not seed sowing. It is financial integrity, accountability, and management. If you don't know how to manage, as I'm telling you, especially if you're a lady, go back. Check what you have spent in the last 1 month. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked what God has done. I'm trying to show you. I want to introduce a father to you. Are you getting the point? And one of the ways to present something good is to contrast. So I'm doing a contrast. Can you follow me in this contrast? I want to contrast first. And in that day, ye shall ask me what? Nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will what? Give it to you. Now, so that means they have been praying, but there is a new introduction in the context of prayer that have the ability to bring a high level of effectiveness to their prayer engagement. So Jesus is trying to tell them that the major reason why I'm effective in prayer is traced to my relationship with the Father. Are you getting the point? You see, so the reason why that young guy can come and ask for school fees, bam, and then go, and then he's sure of getting it, is because he's not the same with you. You see, that is relationship. You can't come and claim that with his Father. The person that should be asked question is who? The Father, not you. So you don't have any reason to come and say that this one is too much. So that is why Jesus also came to a point and said, up till now, you have not asked me. You have not asked anything yet. You have not asked. That Jesus is trying to tell them, if we gather all your prayer, the things you think you have prayed, you have not actually received much. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't think you are praying too much. Don't think you are asking too much. Don't think you are seeking too much. So, that revelation of your relationship with the Father was something that was the fundamental thing that Jesus introduced in his prayer ministry. It was never there until Jesus spoke about prayer. You see? We are not saying that the children of Israel, the matter of prayer is a consistent thing in the Jewish culture and in Judaism and with the children of Israel. But the person that is the context of that prayer changes. So when you say, when Jesus said, and in that day you shall ask me nothing, it means that they have been directing their prayer to Jesus. Are you getting the point? Now, they are hoping that the possibility of success in prayer will be facilitated by their direction of that prayer to Jesus. And Jesus is telling them, me here now, I'm still in the flesh. You can have more results if you can direct it to the Father. Because that is how I got all my results. There are several limitations that is within me, around me, as a result of the fact that I'm still operating within the boundaries of humanity, at least as of now. Are you getting where I'm going now? Are you getting me now? So he redirected them and said, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, you have to understand, of course, I will have to tell you immediately that, okay, let me say this. Let me just add this. There are several people, because of this thing I'm teaching now, they said that prayer is talking with your Father. That was not the only thing that prayer is. Okay, show me a scripture. To say that is to say that no prayer has been answered until Jesus said this. Is it true? In fact, as I told you people, it's a crime to identify God. In fact, I hope you know it's one of the 3-count charges. Huh? That made them to crucify Jesus. Now, you don't know what it means. Huh? for a Jew, when you said that this person is my father, or the person says he's your son, it means that he is the same thing with you. In fact, if you have more than one son, the most important person there is the firstborn. Now, it will take me a while to properly explain what firstborn means. Firstborn is not necessarily the person that came out first. Are you getting the point? I was teaching my people one time. There are about four things that is given to the firstborn is an office. There are about four things that is given to the office of the firstborn. You see? And firstborn is not necessary, according to the Jewish culture, and it's a spiritual, I hope you know that the Jewish culture is an excerpt of how they behave in heaven, that God gave them and they modified and started using it. Are you getting the point now? Now watch. Okay, let me show you an example. Amongst the sons of Jacob, biologically, who is the first? Huh? But in actual execution of the purpose of God and the blessings that we are translated, who is the firstborn? Reuben? Are you seeing it now? So the firstborn, one of the things that the firstborn has is what we call the double portion. Are you seeing it? That is one of the inheritance of, that is one of the things that is given to the firstborn, the double portion. So one of the blessings that accrues to you is the blessing, one of the things that accrues to that office is the blessing of the double portion. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That is even another biggest. The word double portion is a big explanation. What you call double portion is not actually what the scripture calls double portion. I hope you know. Double portion is not 1 plus 2. That's not what double portion is according to the scripture. Anyway, that's one. If explaining it more will take me time. Another thing that is there is the blessing of the blesser. You see, somebody have to continue the what a father is a blesser according to the custom of the Jews. Are you seeing it now? So that is why for every generation there is a blesser in that generation. Now everybody is blessed. All the children of every father, for example, all the children of Jacob are what? They are blessed. But one of them is the one carrying the blessing of the blesser. Others have blessings, but him, he carries the blessing of the blesser. It means that he is the one that have the ability to bless another generation. Are you seeing it? Others are blessed within their living on earth. They will be successful in what they are doing, but they don't have the capacity to elect another generation. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the blessing of the blesser is the lot of the firstborn. And the firstborn is not necessarily the person that was given birth to biologically first, as I have shown you from the scripture. And then there are two other things. Now, are you getting where I'm going now? Now, it is a very big thing for you to now say that you are somebody's son. Are you getting what I'm saying now? These two things I've already said is too big. Already you know that the third thing there is that this person is the one that will sit where his father sat. Are you getting what I'm saying? That one, everybody knows it. So if Jesus come and calls, are you getting where I'm going now? Come and calls God Father. What is he saying? Are you getting the point now? So how do you expect a Jew that heard all what Moses said and all the things that is contained in the commandments, how do you expect a Jew to accept the fact that you are the Son of God? For the fact that you are praying to the Father, that's what you are saying. Are you getting where I'm going now? Oh, if you are with me, say amen.
Okay, let me show you. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. The scripture said there, For the Lord is our what? Lord. Number one. The Lord is our what?
Lord.
Number two. The Lord is our what?
King.
Now, you see, this is the three basic relational bases that the Jews had with God before Jesus came to introduce God as the Father. Are you seeing it now? And I have to put it to you that this context still holds sway. Now, it depends on what prayer is supposed to achieve. You will have to know how to approach God. I was teaching the sisters in the morning. I told them that the challenge with we now as contemporary Christians is that we are trying to use our finite mind to juxtapose what it can mean for God to be several things that we think are opposite or contrary to each other. Is it not true? For example, I told them that is the subsequent topic for our Bible study. How will a loving God send somebody to hell? If you are a loving God, why would you now send somebody to hell? Are you getting my point now? So they feel that a loving God cannot kill. If God is giving life, you can't be giving life and be killing. You can't be loving and then somebody will fear you. Does it match?
No.
Loving and being feared at the same time. But God is both. Now he's in the Bible. The Bible said, fear! In fact, I'm saying in the New Testament, I'm not saying the Old. The scripture contains more fear God than love God. Like, love. You see, the word love is not in the scripture as much as you think. Just go and study. It's actually one man that made the word love popular in the New Testament. The man John. Are you getting the point? The rest is fear. Fear the man that can kill not just the soul, but not just the body, but the soul. Fear. But God is also love. So you have to stand at eternity to find out that it is a possibility that can coexist in that eternal being. He doesn't need to explain to you how he is doing it. But you have found out that the balance has held thousands of years in his existence, and there has not been any leakage. Are you getting the point? Because if you don't need to fear God, there is a lot of things that you will do wrong, and then it will now demand that God will now I hope you know that God is just. Are you getting where I'm going? Let's assume you are not afraid of God and then you went and killed. That killing has necessitated that God will do something about that. It is that fear that is restraining you. There is the fear of reverence to God, but there is the fear of fearing God. You should fear God. Like fear. You should. It's common sense. I'm not teaching you that fear. I'm saying if you need to have common sense like me. Like common sense. I'm not saying you should fear, because some people don't like the word fear. Your fear, it's just that you dislike the word fear. But you have been afraid of the night. You've been in the night, you're afraid. You can't, fear is there. You better fear God so you won't fear anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whether you believe it or not, anybody that can destroy this world need to be feared. It's common sense. Is it not common sense? It's common sense. There are several things that anybody that can do like God is doing it should be feared. It's common sense. So you need to understand that there are certain instances that you have to engage God in prayer as a judge. Actually, that is the exact representation of the scripture in the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Am I correct? For that is the greater context of the investment of prayer. especially intercessory prayer, especially prevailing prayer. Are you getting the point? You are seeking justice. And it is in that place that you see both the judge and then several. So, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel doesn't see God as Father. They see Him as God somewhere there, and then we are somewhere down. Jesus came and bridged the gap. Are you seeing it now? He's trying to tell them that the first thing... Okay, show me that, Matthew chapter 6. He's trying to show them that the first thing you need to be established in your life, it doesn't matter how else and for whatever purpose, as we were taught when we were younger in the faith, there are seven purposes of prayer. The first purpose of prayer is the revelation of God. Is prayer for God to be revealed. That is the prayer that brings transformation. Are you getting the point now? You see, it is not... You see, there is a possibility of praying for long and actually having a kind of result, but you are not changed. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now, part of the reason is not because your prayer is wrong, but because your prayer is deficient of the revelation of God as the Father. See, the revelation of God as the Father is the sponsor of transformational prayers. Are you getting the point now? You see, because it is a relational thing. It is in relating with God that is willing to transmit a part of Himself to you. That is the basis of transformation. Because that is like beholding God. Are you getting the point now? Of course, that's not the only purpose of prayer, but that is the foundation. If you are not grounded in this revelation, you will most likely stumble. In fact, at some point, you will pray some strange prayers that will shock people. In fact, at some point, you will become a prayerful person that is wicked. Are you getting where I'm going now? A prayerful person that is wicked. All kinds of prayer. And I keep saying it. Prayer is not only talking to your Father. That's not only prayer. There are all kinds of prayers and they work. You need to know all kinds of prayers. Huh? For example, warfare is not necessarily talking to your Father. Warfare is legislation. There are prayers that is directed up, and there are prayers that is praying from up to down. Jesus clearly stated the two differentials of prayer. Are you getting it? You see, whatsoever you allow, where? Is allowed where? Yeah. So it means that you can from down affect heaven. Then heaven will what? Affect earth. And there are ways, if you, for example, you finish praying with God and all that. When you see demons, what do? You start praying to God? No, that's not what you do. Even though it's prayer, you command the demons to go. Follow me now, follow me. Now, aside the fact that the revelation of the Father sponsors a transformation as we engage prayer. Listen, it doesn't matter your prayer point. If you have a deep revelation of God as the Father, are you getting where I'm going?
Yes.
Even if you are doing warfare, you will most likely succeed more than the person that doesn't have. Any other prayer engagement you have will succeed more on the basis of your revelation of God as the Father. And there are many other things that will be solved. Let me give you a few. Number two is that it will remove the concept of performance in prayer. You see, New Testament prayer is grace sponsored. It is not a performance driven engagement. This is what I mean. I hope you know that you come and tell somebody, have you prayed for 3 hours? They will tell you that they have prayed. I hope you know you can pray for 3 hours by the energy of the flesh. You will accomplish it. Everybody is not as indisciplined as you. But it's not grace that is doing that. When a man has a revelation of God as the Father, he will not fully say that he has executed prayer if he has not touched heaven. Are you getting where I'm going now? If he has not touched God, that means God, by that experience, has the ability to shift his prayer. You can come and be praying, this one. Let my enemy die. God will tell you to pray for your enemy to live. That means that you have touched some, you have been able to relate with someone that can speak back to you. Now, I'm bringing out this as a foundation. Are you getting the point? When you miss this foundation, you can pray for long and have lesser result than somebody that has prayed for a shorter while that has this abundance of revelation. Are you getting what I'm saying now? The revelation of God as the Father. Number two, it will help you to understand that God is not trying to punish you by telling you to pray. I believe you would have thought about that. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Sometimes you come and say, why will God tell me? We prayed 3 hours yesterday. Why is he telling me to pray for another 3 hours? Even if there is no reason, it's not a big thing for you to stay with your Father. Are you getting the point now? Now, if you know that this prayer engagement is first of all sponsored by my relationship with the Father, you will decide that even if there is nothing I benefited, at least my Father is pleased. Are you getting it now? If my Father is pleased with my more praying, I think that should motivate me to pray more. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
This should sponsor your engagement. Give me sound in 3 minutes. I just had sound in the spirit. So, it should sponsor more and more prayers. More and more prayers. Are you getting where I'm going now? Let me see if I have one more point. Okay. The top point, which should be number one, is that the revelation of God as the Father in prayer sponsors confidence in approaching prayer engagement. Listen to me now. It sponsors both confidence in approaching God and confidence in approaching things. Are you getting the point now? It brings confidence. Knowing that God is your Father. Huh? You know that. Sometimes even if you don't do some things well. Are you getting the point? You know that worse come to worse, what will your Father do to you now? Even if we offended God, we will still fall into his hand. The revelation of fatherhood does not make us to stop praying because we even did something wrong. Because we know our separation from him is worse than once. Are you getting the point? But if you don't have the revelation of God as the Father, you will be trying to be good before you approach. You will be trying to be prepared before you pray. You will be trying to feel like praying before you pray. You will be feeling to make sure that your tongue is sounding well before you start. You will be making... Are you getting what I'm saying? But if you have that, you can start anywhere, anytime. They give you the mic. Say, Joshua, start. You say, kaya, kaba, kaka, kaka. Do you know why? You already know you have an established relationship with him. You don't need to be checking. Can he answer? Can he? You start saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. Watch me from yesterday on and day before yesterday on and all that. That you didn't recognize it as a challenge until they told you to pray. Because if you feel that thing is a serious thing, you should have handled it before then. Is it not true?
Yes, sir.
Why is it that it's always before you pray that you begin to handle the things you think were wrong in your life? Why is it that that's the time you ask for forgiveness? Can't you ask for forgiveness before prayer? Abi, are you not aware that you offended God? Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
It's because you are manipulative. It's because you are a hypocrite. That's why you wait till the time of prayer to confess your sin. When you sin, are you not aware? Can't you ask God that time, forgive me? It is because Satan, you are becoming sick, and you want to ask God to heal you. And you are not sure if you pray now whether God will not remind you that you sinned before. You say, Father, forgive me in Jesus' name, heal me. You are sensing that warfare is coming in the night, and you are not sure your armor is complete. You are checking, did I lie? Did I? You are not willing to check your walk with God and amend your ways until you sense warfare, and you are afraid that you will be hurt in that warfare. That's why you are apologizing. That means you are not really repentant. You will most likely, more often than not, you will go back and do that thing because you are trying to manage the situation. you are not really repentant. You don't want the thing to change. If you want it to change, it will not be the need to pray or the need of the hour that will move you to amend your relationship with God. As soon as something happens, before prayer has happened, you will tell God, Kai, I don't miss him. Help me. I don't miss him. I overspoke. Kai, why did I talk like this?
I do it sometimes. The way I will be flogging myself, God will tell me it's okay. I know you will not believe it, but me, I'm very hard on myself sometimes, that even God is not as hard as that on me. Because I'm disappointed. Say, Kai, bro, you don't overtalk. Kai. At the way you are talking. No break, no nothing. I think I don't need to talk for the next 7 days. As I'm rebuking myself, firing myself. Huh? Saying I will no more do anything. I will not teach. I will not pray. I will not do anything. I will just lie before. Suddenly, fire will burn in my heart. Hey! Then something will move from here down. They are telling me, Oga, you are not the judge. Oga, you are not what? The judge. There are other days you will think you are okay. They will tell you don't go anywhere. Why? You are not the judge. You are not the judge. Sometimes you will secure that thing and then come out. The fire that will fall, it didn't fall when you did 7 days dry fasting. You need the revelation of God as the Father. Huh? If you know it, you don't need special preparation to start praying. You will pray without ceasing. Huh? As long as my Father needs prayer, I will be praying. I'm not praying for need. I'm not praying. You pray. Yeah, praying for result is good. Even after I've gotten result, I check. The purposes of God is in need of prayer. I am my Father's son. I'll keep praying. He has something he's doing. Are you seeing it now?
Yes, sir.
It's a revelation of God as the Father. That is why Jesus prayed while he was on earth. He's not in need of it. What is Jesus in need of? If you know what he's in need of, tell me. That's why he's praying. There is a purpose that his Father is running. The scripture said, and he continued all night in prayer to the Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is. That's the cry. When they asked him to teach them, he was teaching them. So this is the content of Jesus' prayer. He kept praying it. When he comes out, he checks Capernaum. The will of God has not been done yet. He goes back to pray. He said, Father Lord, let your hand descend. Let it descend on Newe. Let it descend. Let it descend. Let it descend on Anambra. Let it descend. Let it descend. Imo State, feel the hand of God. Darkness shall not prevail over you. The promise over the land of Igbo, the Eastern Gateway, is revival. Not revolution. Is revival. Is revival. The promise over Nigeria is revival, not revolution. Huh? After praying for 13 hours, you came out and checked the news. They say somebody stole 1,000 billion. What do you do? You go back. You say, Father Lord, when shall you visit my nation? I will keep praying. Except you say it's enough. But there are ways God speaks. Am I correct? You can think it's enough. After 24, 7 days prayer, when you finish, the first thing that will greet you when you finish is that snake swallowed 111 million. Snake. God. When you see it, you go back and say what? Father Lord. Is the revelation of God as the Father. As long as he has need, his tongues will stand at the gates. Are you hearing me now? But when you can know people that don't have the revelation of God as the Father, when they pray, it will just be me, myself, I.
Me, myself, I, my shoe, my car, my house, my ministry, my anointing, my wife, my children, my this, my that. Come sit down. You don't know prayer. Why won't you be frustrated with prayer? You see it? Nobody likes you approaching him only when you need something. Who likes that? Do you like it? Who likes it? The only time you come to the person is when you are in need of something and you are calling it prayer. Meanwhile, 70% of several prayer meetings that is going on in Nigeria before, and even in some many places now, that's what they call prayer. Is that in prayer? That is a begging session. You organize a convention for begging. That's not prayer. The Father is not pleased. You don't have a revelation of God as the Father. When you have that revelation, there is a way you encounter him. He leaves a burden in your heart. That's how some of us pray. And the end of our prayer is not in time. It is when that burden has been what? Discharged. One day God called me and said, come, let me give you something so that you can feel a little of what I feel.
You don't know why we pray like this, Chibike. You don't know.
When you have a revelation of God as the Father, you will find out that prayer is more about desiring to serve another person's agenda. The person has need here, and only you is the person that can stand on the gap. He cannot come by himself. So you decide by yourself that my own need is secondary. So the person said, if you can do my own, don't worry about your own. That's why Jesus asked, what is it that you are asking that your Father is not aware of? That's why if you ask me, the realm of asking in prayer is actually elementary level. Are you seeing it? That's where you are looking for things. There is a way you shift level and enter the realm of seeking. The things you ask with, see, asking follows seeking. That's according to Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Am I correct? You can ask and get, but if you seek, the things that are asked for follows the things that are sought. So Jesus came there and said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing that you normally ask for will what? Follow. So asking follows seeking. When the Father breathes on you his burden and you begin to seek him, seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness, guess what will happen? The things that people ask for will begin to follow you. They told me that my biological brother came and said that the day he decided to follow this our way is the day he noticed that the things he's pursuing is now pursuing me. You see, he's pursuing something. And what he's pursuing, he's pursuing me, and I don't care. I'm even running away from those things, and they are pursuing me. But him, he's pursuing them, he never catch them. So he said, no. Let's change gear. Let's seek so that asking will follow us. Let's seek. That is a revelation of God as the Father. Even if I'm tired by 1 a.m. in the night, and the Father says, somebody is about to die if you don't pray, what do you do? You will not say, does it concern me? That's what the Father wants done. That's the need of the hour. The revelation of God as the Father. Let me see if I can give you two more. developing disciplines. You see, there is a balance between the Holy Spirit supplying you supernatural ability to engage spiritual things and you engaging disciplines. Smith Wigglesworth made a profound statement, and that statement captures the exact thing we want to do. We want to say, he said, if the Holy Spirit doesn't move me, I move him. This is what he's saying. You would have noticed several times that you can start praying and you are not feeling the prayer. Is it not true? Okay, so you should stop your prayer just because you are not feeling like prayer. Prayer is a discipline. Is a discipline. Where the brother read well while we are leading prayer in the book of Leviticus chapter 6, he said, command ye. So it's a commandment. When we feel like praying, when we don't feel like praying, what do we do? There is nobody that can survive, bring consistency to his prayer altar, that doesn't bring discipline to it. And there are several acts of discipline. Discipline is not in limbo. One of the acts of discipline is that if you pray in the night, let's assume you walk in the day, you will have to eat as early as possible. Is it not true? It will mean you should not watch television more than your capacity. Because if I say, some people will say, I said don't watch television. There is a way you watch television and not even everything you should watch. Are you getting the point? There are things you watch, normally makes your soul weak. Are you getting where I'm going now? There are discussions you engage, you can't pray. If you want to pray in the night, or pray later, or commune with God, there are some things you should not give yourself to during the day. The person that is disciplined, the discipline is an active thing. Are you seeing it? If you know that you have a desire to maintain consistency, you will have to be careful the way you live in a day. You have to discipline yourself. You will not see prayer as a thing. You will see it as an overall part of your living. The problem with people is that they finish doing whatever they want to do. Then in the night, they say, it's my time of prayer. You are not wise. You see, let me give you a few examples. I've given you the example of relationship, how to relate with people. That, of course, you know that there is in discipline. You have to discipline yourself on how and what you eat. Is it not true? That one is a common knowledge. You will have to discipline yourself in how you sleep. An elderly intercessor taught us and said, if you are interested in keeping consistent night watches, then sleep on time. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can do night vigils without sleeping. You can't sustain it for long. It will affect you physically and your eyes and your heart and your health and all that. Are you getting what I'm saying? But at least collect 2 hours of sleep. You don't know how important it is, but the man told us 3 hours anyway. Especially if you are up to 40 years, 50, 60. If you slept by 10, then make your prayer 1 a.m. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you with me? If you slept by 9, you can make it 12. Now, I'm not saying you are a human. I'm not saying you will keep it every day 100% like that. But at least 70% of the time, are you getting the point? It is expected that you collect 2 hours, 30 minutes, or 2 hours, or 3 hours before you sleep, before you pray. There are two kinds of sleep I sleep. Okay, I will add 3 kinds of sleep that I sleep. As a matter of fact, to me, sleep is more important than food. When you get as busy and start meeting the complexities of ministry and the anointing, sleep is more important to you than food. For example, one of the most important sleep for a minister of the gospel is siesta. At least 1 hour in the afternoon, 2 to 3 or 1 to 2.
If you do it, it makes everything to gel together. Even if you are in a car and they are carrying you, close your eyes and sleep. Even if you are in a flight, close your eyes and sleep for 40 minutes to 1 hour. Not good. Now, I'm telling you now, if you follow me, it will help you. It is not good for you to leave for work without at least sleeping. Especially if you are a civil servant. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, there are several civil servants, you do it, that when they finish night vigil, they just live like that. You see, when you go to work, many times you will be dull. You will not be as productive as possible. You don't need much to be productive. All you need to do is, if you pray from 2 to 3, 3 to 4, even if you pray to 5, sleep from 5 to 6. Put sleep in your eye before you leave. That's the important thing. It's not how long you sleep. It's at least what put sleep in. Even somebody like me, like, even if I sleep till 5:30 and woke up, I will feel sleepy before 10. Because that's before the breaking of the day. God structured it that way to make you appear fresh. Are you getting what I'm saying? So this is around disciplines. And then, of course, you need to know that sometimes when you wake up to pray and your bed is so whatever and all that, you need to wake up. Huh? You need to wake up and stand up from your bed. That's why God brought you, some of you, to Sabbath, to sleep on hard ground, so that mosquito can wake you in the night. Jesus. If it is not for Sabbath, mosquito and all kinds of things, somebody like high boy will miss his destiny. Bro, you can't be disciplined everywhere. You are just fooling yourself. Huh? Some of you, if you want to make progress, you might have to leave your house. There is a kind of bed you have. Your prayer life have gone. Don't buy that bed. That bed you want to buy is the end of your prayer life. Don't buy it yet. That God sent me to help you on time. Don't buy that bed yet. Rug is enough for you. You know this kind of rug is enough. It's a good place to sleep. Is it not true? Yes. Throw your this in and sleep off. That's enough. You already have rug. You are planning for bed. And you are telling Apostle, I want prayer grace. Come and collect. Your room is too comfortable. It's too nice. Jesus Christ. For some people, there is game, there is movie, there is food, there is fridge, there is AC, there is this one. Who can pray there? Even Jesus goes to the mountain. You are not hearing me. They asked him, where is your house? He said, I don't have house. Yet, as uncomfortable as his house is, he still leaves it and goes to the solitary place, mountains. He needs a place that will buffet his flesh, so that he can stay agile. Huh? So I'm trying to tell you, there are things that made it impossible for you to keep to your prayer altar. And they are not spiritual yet. They are physical. They are around you. There are things that moves around discipline. If you can adjust this, adjust this, adjust this, you become more effective. You can keep to your time of prayer. You will be more fresh when you wake up. Sometimes the reason why you are not ascending is not a demon holding you. You are too tired to ascend. Is it not true? You can be too tired to ascend. Are you a magician? Are you seeing it? Because of time, let me give you one more. Number what now? Building regimented prayer systems. Now, this one, we have tested it and perfected it to a measure in Revival Hub. Huh? You should have a time of prayer. Even if mistakenly, by whatever means, you missed your time of prayer, let it be an exception. Are you getting the point? You should have, now, you should not just have a time of prayer, you should have a place of prayer. What did I say? Time of prayer and what? Place of prayer. Let's say it again. Time of prayer and what? Place of prayer. Listen to me. If you normally stay here to pray, once you do it for some weeks and some months, eh? It seems as if it's easier to pray in that place. Is it not true? Sometimes you want to pray, you are struggling everywhere, you just drag yourself. Once you get to that your prayer altar, you will just be able to pray. Sometimes you even drag yourself, you are sleepy, you just lay down there, you have not started praying. Once you lay down for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30, you will start. How many of it happens to you? You need to have a prayer place and a prayer time. What did I say? So you need to regiment your prayers. Regiment. There is time of prayer. If you go through the scripture, you will hear the word. The hour of what? Prayer. That's one of the ways to be more effective. Don't just pray in it. If you are praying anytime, that's why in Revival Hub, we have hours of prayer. We have hours of prayer to help and boost, corporate hours of prayer to help and jumpstart you so that you can have your own personal time of prayer. Are you getting the word? Because of time, let me see if I can give you one or two more. There is actually one I wanted to say. That's why I quickly said this to now. Okay, number what now? Engaging auxiliary helps. You see, engaging auxiliary helps. I think you know this one. This is when, if you are struggling with praying, it's simple. Take some of our chants or pray. What we cover, that's what John did. He's the one that identified him, introduced him. He's the one that guided. In fact, when Jesus started preaching, he was preaching the exact thing that John was preaching. He was doing the exact baptism that John was doing. There is nothing different that Jesus did from what John is doing. Is it not true? Is it not in your Bible? They asked Jesus, by whose authority are you doing ministry? Who did he reference? John. Everything John. In fact, some of the things they do, some of the people like us these days, there are some things Jesus will do. Who do they report Jesus to? It's in your Bible. Go and read. You are just overlooking it. They reported Jesus to John many times, not even once. Is it not true? In fact, at some point they came and told John that some of your people has left you and they have followed Jesus. So is it not true? If it's now big trouble for us, but it's in your Bible. There is nothing new. That's why if you find out that there is nothing new, you are consoled. You should be humble, patient, and calm. There is nothing new. It's always like that. Are you getting the point now? They came and reported John. In fact, they kept reporting Jesus to John to the point that at some point John himself got angry. It is always like that. And came and asked, are you the one? And all that. They kept. They came and reported and said that Jesus is baptizing more people. That is baptized. Meanwhile, it's not Jesus himself doing it. Oh, are you seeing it? And you will notice Jesus did what every son in the Lord should do. He never said anything. You will never catch him to. You never will you catch him say anything. That's how you should do it. Now I'm trying to say, for some people that do some that is exactly. It's like John mentored Jesus into ministry. That's by the way. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So there are auxiliary helps that you need. Those days when I was in campus, there was, I think, a 20 to 30 minutes clip of Pastor Chris that I used to. There are two things that I had those days. A 1 hour prayer instrumentals from Reverend David Obwele. I gave it, you have it now. I gave it to everybody that is close to me. That one. Na. There is a way, place. If you want it, we'll post it on our WhatsApp group here this night. I used it for 10 years. That it also helps me to measure myself. It's 1 hour long. Once I can pray with it till the end, I'll say, hey, Omo, we don't do 1 hour. It helps me to know at least I've clocked 1 hour. Are you getting the point? You need that help. It jumpstarts you. Depends. Sometimes those early days, I will use some worship, the month, some, but at some point, the month, no, they work again. Some of those ones that used to move us, you know, they move again now. Especially if a demon is sitting, you need to find my own. Oh. When you put my own here, Tash! The demon say, "Kende na abueba." Are you getting the point? So you should be wise. Sometimes too, there are some auxiliary helps, some worship, some prayers, and some things you will put. And the fuel will last for 1 week. How many of these has happened to you? It will be helping you, helping you, helping you. It's fuel. There is fuel in it. Oh, you don't know that's what is in it. It's fuel. After 1 week, you put it again. It doesn't steer you. You put it. You try. You even force it. It didn't move. The fuel has finished. You need to search out for another one loaded. Even though there are some that I got, I used it for 10 years. Fear no fee finish. There are ones like that. There are ones like that, my friends. There are ones like that. So you need these auxiliary helps to jumpstart you. Are you getting the point? Don't come and say, who can pray? That all these people praying with keyboard and with sound and with this. Can't you pray without keyboard and sound? You can. But don't prove point with your Christian work. There is no point to prove. If you use that sound and it helps you to quickly start your prayer, you say, I will not pray with sound, and you struggle for 3 hours. You're on your own. What extra mark does he give you before God? None. You are the one that is just stubborn. Stubbornness is not faith, my friends. Huh? Am I saying you should not train yourself without those things? You should. Are you getting the point? But don't do it at the detriment of consistency in the place of prayer. Don't do it at the detriment. There are days you come to pray, your spirit is already high. You know you don't need any external things. In fact, there are days if I put a sound that has a song in it, it's a distraction for me. What the person is saying in the song will make me to drive to another point. Has it not happened to you? The words in the song drive you to where you don't want to go. How many of it has happened to you? So you don't need it. Sometimes all you need, for me, sometimes that all you need sometimes is just a sound. That's why there are some people that I send. There is a guy I stumbled on YouTube. Hi. People that is close to me, that's what I'm using now. The man doesn't, there is no song in it, but he has names for it. There is one he calls warfare. Even the way he starts with a shofar. And then after some time, he will add another beat. I said, I can't believe that this person has not seen revival. Because I said, the thing rhymed. Jesus. Are you getting the point? Auxiliary helps. Let me do 5 more minutes. Let me see if I can give you one more. Number what now? This should be number 2, or maybe number 3. Building a word foundation. You see, amen. I think you should have known this anyway. It is very, very hard to maintain consistency without building a word foundation. It is from the word of God brings many dynamics to your prayer life. It is in the word of God that you find out that prayer is a command. It is in the word of God that you find out how. It is in the word of God that you find out why. The certified place to find burdens is in the word of God. Am I correct? If God told you, if you feel that you have a prayer point or prayer burden, settle down and find a scripture that can support it. That's how we do in Revival Hub. When we come here, we keep praying, ascending. When we get to some point, is it not true? We already know that there is a burden hovering. But we keep praying until that burden is being galvanized into a scripture. You see it? Until we can gather a burden into a scripture, it is like a sinking sand. It's not steadfast. Are you getting it now? The more you have what foundation, the more you can climb realms in prayer. Has it not happened to you? When you fill your heart with the word of God, as you are ascending, words are coming. You throw it, boom. You ascend, it comes. You keep frying. Sometimes you might not get to quote it. Eh? But line in line with your travails, groaning and tongues, scriptures will be moving, not necessarily in your mind, but your mind will capture it. You will see it driving in your heart. By that scripture that just came into your heart, you can discern the direction of the burden of God. Is it not true? It is at that point that you will tell people that let's see this scripture. Let's see this scripture. That is not, keep moving. You see, the word gives you balance in your navigation. If you don't have word, there is a point you climb in prayer, something will carry you that you don't know. Huh? There is a way you even pray, you can stumble on things that you don't have the capacity to carry. In fact, should I tell you, there is prayer power that you will jam without a word foundation. You can enter into uncharted territories. You will have encounters you cannot properly relate with. Are you getting the point? And because of it, your interpretation of what you experience will be faulty. Huh? My brother, you need to have somebody to be cross-checking several of your encounters for you. Stop giving me any. There is no excuse. That some people come and tell me, Apostle, I'm too busy. No, we are too busy. You are a liar. You can't be too busy for prayer. That's why you are where you are. If you are a man of God, somebody cornered you to accept that he is too busy to pray. You too, you are not wise. Anybody that refuses to pray, you are only praying for the person. We leave you when your anointing finish and look for another man of God. Get them to pray. Get them to pray, my friends. Get them to pray. You are sponsoring their bogusness in the flesh by praying for them and not discipling them in prayer. That's why they will get the result. Have the audacity to leave. Eh? And speak ill of the things that benefited them. They are surviving by our prayers, and they have the right to come and say, how this person. Meanwhile, the last time that Satan wanted to kill you, you called us and we helped you. It's our intercession that made sure that darkness did not swallow you and your family. Come and say, how this person. It's because you are helping them in it. Everybody must pray. Good. I think we need to stop here. I have two very important points. I wanted to unpack Romans chapter 8 verse 26 for you. Understanding the help of the Holy Spirit, but there is no time. But that's the one. Maybe in our morning Bible study, we'll do it. We can do it. Bow down your head. Let's pray. You are not praying. Pray. Listen to me. There is a spirit dimension to this prayer thing. Several years ago, I went for my normal citywide prayer meetings. And when we finished, a young man came and met me and said, "Man of God, I'm struggling with my prayer life." I said, "Come here." I hugged him. He went back and prayed 11 hours. I said, "There is a spirit. You can contact it and born, my friend. You can carry it.
You can come here struggling with prayer, live and pray for 1 month. You'll be wondering what happened to you. You can't recognize yourself. If you're a pastor, hear me. I have something to give to you. I have it. Listen to me. God called me and said, one of the major witnesses you will bear, not just to your generation, but to generations till Jesus comes, is a witness of a burning altar. The things I speak about is the things my hands have handled. I'm not telling you a story. It's the things I handled for years. And God now said, oh, yeah, teach it. Huh? I will burn, oh. I will burn, oh. Jasper, there is a way we pray. The whole about we pray because of you. What's your desire? Where are you even going? Until the whole about is praying, you have not prayed. What you need is such an altar that can host a seat. I saw the number 17 in the spirit. There is a supernatural visitation on 17 altars. Whether you are following us online or you are here present, there is something God wants to do now. Several altars that is there, God wants to revive it. God wants to pour grace on your altar. God wants to bring fresh fire on your altar. God wants to bring authority to your altar. God wants to grant you skills. God wants to bestow grace. Pray now. You have 2 minutes. Father, we ask you to bear witness today. From this place, all over the world, let every person that comes in contact receives a ministration of a burning altar. Something so strong, something so heavy. Africa, Western, Eastern, Northern Africa, Asia.
quiet. Close your eyes. Just be quiet. Father, I ask you to move in our midst now. Move in our midst. All over this auditorium, online, everywhere. Male, female, young, old. Move. Is coming. From my left to my right, there is something God wants to do now that we spiral into what many of us never even imagine. It's coming. Touch, touch, touch. Touch, stronger. Touch, stronger. Touch, stronger. Male, female, young, old. Touch, 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 touch. Let your altar come alive. Let your altar burn. Let it burn, let it burn, let it burn! Ushers, bring 17 people for me. 17 of them. 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 The hand of God comes stronger. It will seem as if God went through you. Just lesser beams of fire went through you. It went through you. Some of you, the dross that is on your altar will be purged. The ashes will be gathered out. Pay attention, pay attention. The hand of God is moving. Pay attention, pay attention. 17 witness, 17 witness, 17, 17, 17, 17, 17. Help me and find them, Holy Ghost. Help me and find them, find them, find them, find them, find them. Pay attention, don't be distracted. We consecrate this place for encounter. It's Holy Ghost zone. Find them! Let your altar burn! Let it burn stronger, 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 burn stronger. 17 witnesses. We are the Holy Spirit. Present here online, 17 witnesses. Don't lose focus. There is a young man here on my left hand side that the Lord is looking for. 17 witnesses. Find them, Holy Ghost. Find them. 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 It's coming stronger. It's coming. Let it burn, Holy Ghost. Let it burn. 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 Let your fire find them. Let it find them.
Let him find them. 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 The hand of God is still moving. I see two people. The Lord is upgrading your altar now. From today, you will start operating in the heavenly places. He is setting your altar in the heavens. The Lord is setting your altar in the heavens. The Lord is setting your altar in the heavens. Bring them for me. There are two sisters here. The Lord is giving you much incense to offer this season. The Lord, I see the Lord giving you much incense to offer. The Lord is giving you much incense. You have found favor before heaven, and they are giving you much incense to offer. Much incense. The result of that incense will be very, very heavy. Very, very heavy. The impact it will have on earth will be very heavy. Will be heavy. Very heavy. Much incense. Much incense. Much incense. Let that incense, let that be handed over to you. Much incense. Much incense. Much incense. Much incense. Much incense. Two sisters. Much incense. Two sisters. Much incense. Two sisters. We are the Holy Ghost. Receive it. Come to your altar empty-handed. Receive much in. Receive incense to offer. Everywhere you are, let me hear your voice. Stand on your feet. Let's pray for 1 minute. Let your voice be very loud. Let's pray for 1 minute. Let it be very loud.
believe God's word came to you with accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Dechukwu, with unlimited access to life-transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnership, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com.